Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome to Cardano Live. I have a bunch of shadowy supercoders with us today here from the Drip Drops. We've got people who are experts in business, marketers, the coders, the whole bit, here to talk to you today about the Drip Drops launch, which will occur Friday night at midnight UTC. So just imagine in Europe, it's going to be midnight UTC time. So depending on where you are in the world is whenever the launch is going to start. And with me today are a bunch of great folks from the Drip Drops team. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming on Cardano Live, as well as myself being on the team for Drip Drops. Why? Because we're going for number one, guys, all day, every day. And we're here to tell you about Drip Drops. And then you can ask us questions in the chat and we'll answer your questions. But before we get on to that, let's first tell you what Drip Drops is. And Anthony, would you like to give us kind of a rundown of what Drip Drops is so that people know what we're talking about here?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having us on Cardano Live. This is exciting. It's my first time on here. So Drip Drops is a distribution mechanism or a tool for the Cardano community. And basically, if you have a token project that you want to distribute to a certain set of delegates or blockchain wide, you can come to Drip Drops and create a campaign. And based on the parameters that you set within that campaign, we distribute tokens to those delegates. And from the delegate side, all you need to do is show up to the site, paste your receive wallet address, click on check my drip or drops, rather, and you'll be able to see which tokens you're available to, that are available for withdrawal based on how much ADA you have staked and where you're staked, and it will match the parameters that the token project set, and you can select those tokens and click withdraw and they'll be in your wallet in a few minutes.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, there's the general overview. So I'd like to let viewers know, check out the links down below in the description. We have articles on Medium on Drip Drops. There is a link to the new YouTube channel for Drip Drops. So you can hop over there, subscribe to that channel, and we'll be posting new content as it's developed on Drip Drops at that YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe it and set the bell for notifications. We have a link to the Drip Drops Twitter account. So if you want real-time updates on Twitter, make sure you follow Drip Drops on Twitter so you can get those real-time updates. And we'll be putting out information tomorrow night live right before the launch. If launch is a go, if everything is green board one, and our dark and shadowy super coders let us know that everything's ready to go. Sound good, guys? Make sure you check out those links. All right. So what does Drip Drops do for us? So much like Ethereum, where you they have airdrops, and let's say you have your Ethereum wallet address and they start, it gets sprinkled with tokens once in a while. Like, oh, look, I got some tokens in there. Right. So how is Drip Drops doing that for us? Who wants to talk about that?
Yeah, I'll take it. So on Cardano, tokens work a little different because they require a little bit of ADA to travel along with them. That's a security mechanism of the chain, because otherwise somebody, an attacker, could just make a bunch of garbage tokens and just blast them all over the place and cause a lot of congestion on the chain, and no value would be transferred because the token would be worth nothing. So by requiring the token to travel with around 1.5 ADA every time, that ensures that the chain is protected from extraneous transactions. And so what we do with Drip Drops is it's an opt-in solution. So a user has to go to the website, choose which tokens they want to withdraw, and then pay the gas fee, I guess you could call it, to withdraw those tokens to their wallet. And then some of that fee that you pay comes back to you along with those tokens, because as I just discussed, tokens have to travel with ADA on Cardano.
Yeah, if we weren't doing this as an opt-in system, and imagine every platform or token project had to do this, it would be a huge amount of investment on their end to actually get all these tokens to their users. And they don't even know if all of their deliveries are actually going to the right people as well. So it actually works out really cheaper and as a good option for token projects.
Thank you, Andrew and Lathisen. All right, so a little bit about, I want you guys to kind of cover the back end and what developers can do, and the front end, and what users are looking at. And then in about 10 minutes or so, I'll start getting to the viewer questions. So on the back end of Drip Drops, we have the Firehose technology created by Andrew Westberg and then integrated with the entire team here. And so how's Firehose working for us on the back end? And then we'll bring it on up to the front end and talk about how users use it.
Firehose actually wasn't prepared for a project this ambitious. You know, the idea was brought to me and they said, oh, can we do this with Firehose? And I looked at my code and I said, no, it can't currently do this. And so, so we had to make a lot of enhancements to it to be able to pull this off, to be able to drop large bundles of tokens across many users, bundling not only different users together, but then bundling groups of tokens together in bundles of 10. So, we had to make a lot of changes to it and enhancements so that we can pull it off and do it in an efficient manner as possible.
Efficient is, it's got a couple of different meanings there too, because what Andrew's doing with Firehose is you're bundling as much as you can. It's reasonable. And what we think is going to happen is it's going to put a lot of load on the chain, which is what we want. We want the chain up at 100% load. So we're anticipating a higher load based on the Firehose, blasting people's requests.
Yeah. So we can chain the transactions together one to another. So normally when you're in a regular wallet and you've probably seen this before where you send some ADA one place and then you have to wait for a few blocks to go through, wait for your transaction to get confirmed on the chain, and then you can do another transaction. Well, with Firehose, because of the way we transaction chain, we can put new transactions into the memory pool of the node, like kind of a queue area waiting to go onto the blockchain, as fast as those come in. So it kind of adds a little bit of back pressure to the blockchain so that the incoming will hopefully start to balance out with the outgoing transactions. Granted, we can't usually compete with how many are coming in, but we're prepared for a lot of load on the back end.
Nice. Everyone likes a nice back end.
Yeah, right, we'll see a nice big increase in the memory pool, I think, as we launch. It'll be fun.
And yeah, Andrew posted some graphs of testing. Andrew posted some testing graphs, and what'd it take? Like an hour to get 5,000 transactions pumped out, batches?
Yeah, that was on the testnet though. So and the chain density on testnet is quite low compared to mainnet. But on the other hand, we also have other projects to contend with on mainnet. So we can't take up 100% of the chain like we sometimes can on the testnet. But we'll just have to see. We'll monitor it. There will likely be some chain congestion, but rest assured that Cardano will be operating as designed and transactions will go through as there's room on the chain. So,
right. Nice. All right, so let's bring that to the front end on the user experience where Lathy comes into play here, who made a wonderful user experience that Anthony had put in a very nice video that we put out yesterday. Lathy, can you tell us a little bit more on the front end user experience side? What are people looking at?
Yeah, so the back end is abstracted through an API and the front end just talks to it directly. And what the user will see is a very easy to use interface where you don't need an account to use the platform. You can just come in and put in your stake address or receive address, and then I communicate directly with the Firehose instance and just let you know what you qualify for in a really nice visual GUI that you can see that, oh, I can pick these tokens and then submit a request and say, I want to withdraw this. This creates a request on the Firehose and saying that, okay, user X or just that address is wanting to withdraw all of these tokens. And then they will be given an address to send the ADA in. There will be future improvement to the front end, for example, integrating with some wallets so that you don't have to manually send a payment, just do a one-click payment using something like a next-generation wallet like Typhoon, for example, or CC Vault and so on. Once you made the payment, it goes through. It's just like magic. You know, the front end is there to give users access to what the thing that's really powering it is the Firehose. But there will be some added bonuses on the front end, like being able to explore what the different projects that are. And, you know, if you looked at our Project Explorer, you can see all the different tokens. And if you go into it and you can see all the pools that are going to be distributing the tokens. Right now on the testnet, there's not much diversity in the data. So they're all looking very similar. It's either network-wide or a particular testnet pool. But on the mainnet, it will just look amazing. You can see that, I really want this token X, but I don't know who's going to be dropping it at a good rate. And some project might decide to distribute them network-wide, like one token for every 100 ADA you stake, for example. But this one particular pool is giving you 100 because that might be their pool, the ISP or model that's powering or funding their project. So you may choose to delegate to that pool if you want to. If you're already delegating there, you'll be notified that, I'm going to get extra reward at the next epoch. So that's pretty much it, yeah.
Cool. And at launch, how many different tokens are we anticipating are going to be queued up for users to access?
That's something Andrew should have account.
I haven't finished onboarding them all, but I believe I've entered around 30 records in the database.
Jeez.
Oh, that's a lot.
A good number of tokens. Now, some of those are just on, on certain pools. They're not going to be anything you normally see, but 30 is a pretty awesome number to have at launch.
About half of them are blockchain-wide distribution or have a blockchain-wide parameter.
Yeah,
so every wallet will get at probably 12 to 15 different token options.
And a lot of issuers are issuing flat rate rewards too, guys. So it doesn't matter about the wallet size. Obviously, if you want to create more wallets and get more tokens of a certain type, that's your prerogative. You've got the 2A to staking deposit. But so anybody can play regardless of your wallet size. If you guys, some of the newer people who are coming to Cardano may only have a few hundred ADA or even less. And if they're trying to participate in an ISPO, they're not going to get a whole lot of rewards because the majority of those are rewarding based on the amount of ADA staked. So flat rate rewards are pretty cool. So you guys should explore those. And I'm excited. 30 already. And they keep coming too. So we're working internally to figure out processes for how we manage that. Everybody's contributing. This started out as a kind of a necessary distraction. It's what kind of brought us all together. I think that's probably the best way to put it in my mind. I got pulled off of my work to try and solve this problem. And it was interesting to, most people on the team. And that's kind of what we did. So I'm really proud of everybody here.
I mean, we can talk about the problem space, what made us think about building something like Drip Drops. As for me, I didn't like the fact that people were hopping small pools, like the community and tiny pools, in order to one of these big projects pools in the hopes of getting that particular token. And a lot of stake pools start closing up. And I don't want to name the projects or the pools that were running these, but you already know who they are, where people saying, sorry, I'm closing up because I had about 100K worth of, stake was being removed from my pool and I'm closing up because that's me done, right? That's not good. We need small pool.
Well, for me, it was a flag. It was just the beginning of something that was coming. And it's a flaw in the pledge mechanism. And Rick had made some comments about that. I think he was the first one to point it out. And if we didn't do anything, I think we'd have a very different ecosystem in 6 months. And because we did something, we're going to have a really different ecosystem in 6 months.
Yeah. Can I follow? I want to follow up with what Kyle just said. Kyle is our lovely and handsome CEO. Thank you, Kyle, for taking it for the team. And what we, so we needed to bring balance to the force. I think what we all saw was that the ISPO models caused a concentration thing. And some of us participate in those, right? I'm a participant in those, in that type of model. And I said to myself, well, that's a valid business model. It is a perfectly valid model. It's the rules on the ledger allow for it. Marketing is good for it. There's all these good things. I can't participate in that myself directly as a, I can't issue securities, that's for sure. But then we said, well, how can we bring balance to the force and balance to the network and kind of return some of the power to these people who are doing startup pools and trying to get in the game or trying to get along in the game. And drip drops was the answer to that. That was the problem space that Lathi had referred to is, you know, how do you bring balance to that? Where you have ISPOs, which are a valid model that operate in the same ecosystem as people who either cannot by regulation or cannot by technical abilities, they cannot compete with a model like that. So drip drops all provides like a way to play in that same space and still have the ability to participate in a competitive yet cooperative environment. Did I summarize that well? I hope I did.
Absolutely. Yep,
very.
It's going to force.
Kyle, did I say anything that'll get me in trouble?
I don't think so.
Okay. Any other entity that wants to come into this space and do an ISPO model similar to what we've already seen take place, it's going to force them to, they're going to have to bring some serious value for people to want to engage in, and, you know, willingly give up their ADA rewards for a promise of a token later on. They're going to have to bring some game.
It raises the bar. And what it really does too, is it enables a more competitive playing field. Like Rick was saying, a balance to the force. And the reason that that's important more than ever is we have a lot of VC money creeping into our space, trying to turn our space into the clown show that was, you know, the social media we saw this century. And you know, they're looking at centralizing what we're trying to do by find product market fit there, and they're partnering with their own firms and things like that. And what Drip Drops enables is an ecosystem. Like, I came here to run, to not as a stake pool, but to be an entrepreneur. And the only thing to do was run a stake pool. And I did it good. And it was enough to where it enabled me the financial latitude to participate in things like Drip Drops and things like that. And that's so very important to our ecosystem. It's us. We've got to find product market fit, and we have to bring the different types of solutions. And it's going to come from the funding that comes from Catalyst and running stake pools. And so if somebody wants to come and do an ISPO and bring some game and convince users to give them, you know, all their ADA rewards in exchange for their one token, it better be damn good if it's going to compete with our 50 tokens.
See, one of the things I wanted to attack as well was, if we didn't do this, somebody else would have done it, but in a centralized way, and then we would have lost the opportunity to tackle this properly. The way we've done it, it may look like centralized, but people don't understand. We needed to get tokens on board, so we opened it up to everybody who wanted to participate. They joined, right? But after we launched, it's going to be up to the community who's deciding which token gets to stay and who else gets to come on. If we weren't doing this in a 100% community way with our drip token rewards, the governance token, somebody else would have done it without that potion, and we would have been at a loss. And I didn't, from a tech point of view, I really didn't like the fact that when people do ISPO model, it's so different between each version. Like, somebody would say, send this ADA back to yourself to vote. And somebody else would say, just send all your ADA. We'll promise to get it to you. We don't know what that mechanism of drawing was going to be. I wanted a consistent way as well. And we seem to have solved it by just saying, hey, just come on here, it's self-serve, and you pick what you want, and it's open to all. And if a new project wants to come in from a different blockchain, like somebody who's running a project on Ethereum wants to come in, they don't need to know anything about running a stake pool. They could just come and say, hey, we have a project, and here's our token. Can you get it distributed? That's all we can provide that for them.
One thing that is interesting from a user standpoint is when you think about all those projects and the pools that people have been participating to be able to go to one specific project. Here, there is this notion of partnership between different projects. So if I'm if I'm delegating to a pool, I'm not just receiving that pool rewards. There are some partnerships that have been already put together, for example, Token, Spacecoins, and Noom has been partnershipping. This way, when it sort of flattened when you have one big project that have many different pools, you can have three different projects with three different pools, and the fact that all the delegate will get a little bit of those different token is sort of making one big chain of project we can see that as a sort of ring of project that goes together. So for a user, it's not just putting all the money in one project, but it's helping many different projects by participating in one pool. I think that's interesting too.
Yeah. What Val's saying is we turn game theory on its head.
Yeah, that is a good point. And if while this is a good subject to be on, is what about the user? What are the costs to the user when as they withdraw tokens each epoch? And what do the drip tokens do for them? So let's touch on those two questions. What is the cost to a user as they visit the drip drops each epoch? So anyone want to speak to that?
Andrew?
I
know it's a rough number. I'll take it.
It's fine.
Okay.
So the minimum amount you're going to put into the system, into the vending machine, is 3 ADA. And then if you're withdrawing, I think, one or two tokens, it depends on, it actually depends on the token name. So if the token has a really long name, it costs a little bit more. Most of our tokens that we've onboarded so far have pretty short names, so it costs less space on the blockchain. So you can withdraw, I think, up to two tokens, spend 3 ADA, and you'll get back around 1.5 ADA. The system that Latisan has built, so before you go and pay, it'll actually tell you how much change you're going to get back from that transaction. So you know all the costs up front. If you know you don't like it, whatever, you don't have to participate. It's a completely opt-in system. At the high end, the most tokens you can withdraw at once is 10. And I believe that will cost you 6 ADA, maybe 5, depending on the token size. We haven't really tested it in production yet. I think it was 6 ADA on the test net when we used all really big token names. So somewhere between 5 and 6 ADA to grab 10 tokens. And then, of course, since we're going to have, you know, maybe 15 or 30 tokens may show up on your space, then you just, after you've gone through the withdrawal process once, and once you've gone all the way through it and it's completed, you can start it again to withdraw any additional tokens that were left on your list. There's only so much transaction size in the blockchain we have right now. So we had to, you know, set our bundling for a number of users together and limit the tokens to 10 at a time.
Yeah, that 10 limit actually comes from the 16 kilobytes transaction size limit. So in the future, if there's a soft hard fork and if the Cardano folks decides to up that limit, we'll increase it correspondingly.
Yeah, and we're currently not creating overly huge transactions, but we wanted to stay well under that 16 kilobyte limit because if we ever hit it for some reason, we just wanted to have a little space there. So right now I would say the transactions we're putting out there are about half full. And that does mean that Drip Drops Incorporated is leaving a little bit of transaction fees on the table, but it was more important for us to, you know, play nice with the system and make sure we're always leaving room there and for stability reasons.
Okay. And Andrew, did you happen to notice, let's say I'm a user and I grab as many tokens as I can and I pay in 6 ADA, for example. Could be higher or lower. I pay in 6 ADA. How much did you see it typically kicking back when I got my tokens back?
3.5, 3.6 is typical for 10 tokens. So, you know, you're getting a really good deal if you are clicking on only tokens that you believe have more value than that ADA you're putting in. And given that these are mostly airdrops, people are looking to get their token distributed. It's kind of a no-brainer decision in my mind that you're going to want to do this. But you should be savvy and, you know, only choose those tokens you really truly believe have value. We'll talk about this later in a minute, but the way the we'll talk about the ranking mechanism for tokens. I'll let somebody else take that. But yeah, it's important to only choose the tokens that you really want in your wallet. Do research on the projects, you know, because we opened the floodgate. So any and everybody was allowed in the front door for this first round. We didn't limit anything. There's going to be, you know, everything from Bison token to Stripper coin to Cardozio. I mean, there's.
How'd you say it?
I might get me some of those stripper coins.
It's a utility.
Do they have utility?
I hope so.
We don't know. I mean,
you get paid it, and think of how many different things you could buy.
You can use them in the rare bloom after party.
Instead of saying about like,
so the key to the user is you're good. It's what Lathy put on the interface.
What's up, Hosky? Pay close attention. In the house. You gonna drip?
Hosky's in the house. You gonna drip, Hosky?
Hosky's gonna come drip. I know.
They haven't. Yeah, me and Hosky are homeboys. Loaded yet? We do have. I think we have Cardano Shiba Inu coin. We've got Wolf coin. We've got all kinds of crazy stuff.
If you guys want in on drop Hosky, let me know and we'll get you.
Can I answer a question real quick? I thought this was a pretty good one. Someone asked, they said, so say Shib, probably meaning Shiba Inu, wants to issue their token on Cardano. Can they do that with drip drops? So it's a great question, Patriot. If they wanted to actually mint new tokens on the Cardano blockchain, they could by making a new Cardano native asset. But stating that, you know, Shiba Inu is on a different network, whether it be ERC20 or BNB. So they're not actually, you know, drip drops is not a platform that allows you to bridge tokens over. It is simply a platform that allows you to distribute tokens to users of the drip drop website.
And it exists due to the unique nature of Cardano. Cardano, any native asset that travels on the Cardano blockchain requires a min UTXO amount of ADA to travel with it. And because of this min UTXO amount of ADA, it makes distributing tokens very costly. And therefore, by having users front the value of that cost, they're putting skin into the game saying, okay, I'm going to pay for the withdrawal of this asset, get most of my ADA back. What Drip Drops is doing is bundling those withdrawals together, making efficient so the user gets the most bang for their buck out of the transaction fee, while we're also taking a small withdrawal fee, and that's how the business operates as profit.
I do want to stress this because not many people understand is that when you do get your rewards, they don't tend to be like one coin of, for example, this one wolf coin or one stripper coin. It tends to be whatever the project has configured with our platform. So for example, stripper coin might have came to us and said, we would like to do a network-wide distribution of 100 coins per 10 ADA state. It might be something simple like this, or it might be something crazy like 100 coins per 1,000 ADA state. What that means is, for the actual size of your wallet, the quantity of the tokens that you might receive actually might be different or much higher as well. Like, it's not just one coin. So that 3, 2, 5, 6 ADA you are paying is actually for the token uniqueness, not the actual quantity. So you, in with single withdrawal, you might be pulling 100 stripper coin and 100 bison and 100 X coins. So you're actually getting a lot for that 3 to 6 ADA that you're paying, which is getting half of it back anyway.
Thank you, Lathy. And that's key. That's important for the users to make note is when you're using the web interface, late Friday night, early Saturday morning, maybe you're still hungover from New Year's, pay very close attention to how much ADA you're sending out and getting back. Lathy put a lot of time and effort coordinating with Andrew to get that number right on target so the user knows exactly what they're doing and exactly what they're getting in order to get those tokens. And that's very important. So pay close attention to that. Keep in mind, you know, the cost of moving those tokens, there's going to be a little bit of slippage there. It could be 1.5, 2, 2.5 ADA. Just do the math. It'll be right there on your screen. So make sure you check that out. We have questions coming in from viewers. We're going to touch on that. Thanks, Pay, for hitting that question earlier. The last thing we need to touch on are what are the drip tokens and how do people get them? And there are some viewer questions starting to go in that direction. So what are they? What do they do for you? What do you do with them? Who wants to cover that one?
Before we get into governance, I want to say one thing about Firehose that we hadn't really touched on. And one of the big parts about it, one of the facets about it that I love the most, and that's it's, and I'm just going to use a traditional as an NFT drop on Cardano is a year or less old now since March. We've been doing this kind of stuff with native assets. Firehose is very prescient in that when we submit transactions to the blockchain, Firehose basically says, It looks at this transaction as if it's already on the chain. So if we have a bunch of congestion, we can chain all these things, you know, and it'll hang on to it and get it into the mempool when there's a spot. And what that does is with a traditional NFT drop, if you're running your Roy or Daedalus or whatever, and we're, you know, those systems are using something like block for us to query the blockchain, your wallet may time out trying to get that transaction in, right? The chain isn't going to fail, but your wallet may very well time out. I've seen it happen a ton of times. This really takes care of that problem. So I think it's going to be cool, honestly, yeah, for drip drops, for other people that are developing in this space to see the capabilities of Firehose and what it can do for the chain.
Yeah, it makes movement of those assets more efficient.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know this, at least the people who are interested in... All right, we got Husky. I don't know if people know... we use Firehose on Token, and before that, we were with BlockFrost. Now, this is no flack against, you know, a BlockFrost as a service. It's just that we exceeded their capabilities the way we were trying to use it, because we were trying to do things like mint, withdraw, you know, buy, sell, and all kinds of things, and with a lot of users very quickly. And what we wanted was something is a guaranteed delivery onto the blockchain, and that's what Firehose guaranteed, you know, enabled us. So when Kyle and Anthony and a couple of guys were talking a while back saying, hey, we want to, you know, take on this ISPO thing. And I said, the first person I thought of was like, Andrew, go after him, get him on this, and then I'm in. And here we are.
And, you know, that's impressive, because BlockFrost, I check their stats every month, and they are moving data in the range of about 30 terabytes a month.
Jesus.
I don't quote me on the exact number. They are up in the tens of terabyte range.
It's
on
an amazing data. Yeah, it's an amazing tech. The problem is that we're in a shared pool of the mempool if we're trying to get transaction into it. By running a dedicated instance of a Firehose, you're actually using your own private mempool, and you can do cool things on top of it, like chain transactions, query the live UTXOs so that, you know, you don't need to wait for something to finish before you chain the next thing onto it. And you can do things like have a buffer. So if the mempool is full, you can just stack things up into like a temporary queue. Then as soon as the mempool is free, Firehose could get things into it and guarantee that delivery. And so a lot of the mints that were failing, a lot of the purchase that people were doing on token that failure, majority of that went away, next to near zero now. We don't have any of those issues that we used to have before. So in the next year, we're thinking of scaling up as well, you know, more to a bigger instance of Firehose and things like that, to plan for the capacity increase of upcoming things. But yeah, Firehose is awesome.
Thank you, Lathi and Chris, as well. We did have a question. I can't revisit all questions that were answered earlier, but there was a question from Codaman 007. So hey, do we need to claim every epic?
I would say, I'll take this over and be like, you should always claim every epoch, because you get to participate in Drip Drop and you get to drip at every epoch. It's like your secondary rewards for epochs. You should obviously do it.
Well, and it promotes engagement with the chain, you know?
The follow-up question to that is, if we don't claim every epoch, will we lose tokens?
Yes.
And one, it depends on the campaign. If a campaign is paying you every 5 days, then yes, you will need to claim those every epoch. And there is no database that holds that data that you didn't claim. So if you do not claim those tokens from a campaign that does pay out every epoch, you will need to come back and claim those every epoch. And the reason that you can't do that right now is because of Hydra. You know, we're waiting on Hydra to actually store that data off chain without having to, you know, rely for on-chain data that is obviously congested.
Cool. Thank you, Pei. That was a good follow-up question. Hope we answered your question there. Codaman 007, claim every epic. Now let's, touching on drips again, what do we do with them? So how do you get drips? How much do you get? What do you do with them? Who wants to take that? What are drips? What do they do?
Okay, so Drip is a token that Drip Drops project created, and there is a supply of 45 billion, and the entire supply is for the community. We want to stress that you won't be able to buy this anywhere, and the team didn't take a single token. If we wanted them, we would be withdrawing them.
Yeah, the pie chart's pretty stellar. If somebody wants to share it, that'd be pretty cool.
I have a pie chart somewhere.
Yeah, so Drip is available to everybody. You don't need to be staking at any particular stake pool. As long as you are staking, you will be able to qualify for 1,000 drips every epoch. Now, what you can do with this in the future is you would be able to use that as a governance token on our platform to decide various things. One thing is, who should we accept next into the token project? Like, hypothetical example, let's say Husky didn't make it into the initial rounds and they would wish to be listed. They would present their interest and we will make it as an option you can vote on. And if you have the drips, your voting power is based on how much, you know, drips you own. And you can vote with it and say, yeah, we would like it. And based on the votes, we will add them. And the same could be said true for removing project. For example, if some token was added and it's not doing particularly well, and you know it's just taking up space, why not just remove it? And you know, you could propose and say, remove this token. And there could be various other features that you could decide on, you know, in terms of governance and how that will work. Maybe Anthony would want to take it further.
Sure. So yeah, like Lathisan had said, you vote with the drip. The concept there is when you cast a vote, it goes back into the distribution bag. So we will be able to see circulating supply, max supply, what's going on, who's holding it, stuff like that. And basically the idea is to use this as a measure to operate the DAO. So it was cool building this project out because we got to do everything so differently than everyone else. Like just our token supply, our tokenomics were so simple. We were looking at everyone else's pie charts and they're allocating this amount to here and this amount to here. And we said, well, let's just give it out as liberally as we can without any ties to it. And so the team's no longer permanently attached, because if you save percentages in the tokenomics for the team, then by default, you must have a team there forever. Whereas we get it the same way everyone else does through fair distribution. So we must participate on the platform. And what's nice about that is that the people that participate the most on the platform will hold the most influence. And it's not based on the amount of ADA that you have. We wanted to detether from that because we found that to be one of the issues with like Project Catalyst. There's the pie chart. we wanted to detether from ADA whales being able to control and manipulate rather than actual users of the platform and people that are genuinely concerned with the health of the platform. So we've detethered from ADA by giving flat rate amounts to each wallet. One of the main concerns there is, oh, well, what about wallet splitting? Well, there's only so much ADA that you can split into a wallet, you know, how many times and how many wallets do you want to maintain? And then do you want to pay all those transaction fees to acquire a token that you vote with? I mean, we thought the process of maintaining and dealing with that many wallets was enough mitigation to justify and basically stop the abuse of the system. I mean, you'd have to have a ton of wallets, 45 billion, 45 billion tokens, you get 1,000 drip. So you have 45 million withdrawals. I mean, you know how many wallets you'd have to create to really be an influence on the network.
You guys would generate so much revenue for us. We come up with some other cool way to fool you. Yeah, but here's where the fun part starts, guys. The other part of public allocation, we're going to give away is a referral program. Mm. And so you guys are going to get a referral link. Everybody that signs up is going to get a referral link that they can then share. And whoever they get to come onto the platform to execute a withdrawal, you will receive 100 drip tokens. You get a reward. So guys out there like Husky that really care about influencing the ecosystem, you guys might want to leverage your social profiles and your referral link to accrue more drip tokens, which will give you more leverage in deciding the future of what comes on the platform. So think about that too, guys.
Both of the users get it. So let's say I refer Kyle and he does his first withdrawal. Yay. We both get 100 tokens only once, like, you know, not continuously. That might change in the future. For example, what if somebody said, hey, can we give for a referred person 100 or maybe even a smaller amount for the subsequent amount every time? We might put that idea up as a vote and then you guys with the drip token can vote on it. And if you say, yeah, we'll do it.
And then once you cast a vote in the system, those tokens go back into the bucket and they get distributed back into the community again. But it would behoove of anybody who is a token project, you know, building, working on something right now, it would behoove of you to get registered now because we're going to move to a DAO as quickly as we possibly can. we're going to do it right. Obviously, we already put a ton of thought into this, but once we get to that stage, we, the people you see here, will have nothing to do with that process. It'll all be community driven, which is going to be cool. Yeah.
And in the meantime, before we have the DAO, Chris, we're going to have to make executive decisions as a team. We have 10 people on the team, and we're going to have to determine how many can we onboard per week, for example. I don't know if Andrew even sleeps anymore. No, Andrew doesn't sleep anymore. Okay. So we, at some point, we're only going to be able to take on so many tokens per week, and we're only going to be able to launch so many more new tokens per week. So we'll come up with some sort of polling mechanism until it transitions to a DAO in the out months and years as the technology develops to where we can transition to a DAO.
Yeah.
Anthony, Kyle, did I say that correctly? Is there anything in there that needs to be corrected?
No.
Just
I mean,
good voting.
Yeah.
Good voting mechanisms is what we need to start the process.
We're going to try to decentralize this, guys, and it's going to be a process, and it's centralized right now. We understand that it's going to be rocky. There's a lot of things we're going to learn. Getting a DAO right is important. And, you know, I think the team would like to see this operate as a DAO, but still have the ability, to put it down if it's something that gets out of control. You know, we want to do this right, but we're creating something that's very powerful for the ecosystem. So, when I build technology, I take very seriously that technology or the potential for that technology to be used or manipulated or morphed into something that was not what was intended. And so, all these things are things we're considering. I think we'll get there. We've got a good team with good hearts, and we're all here for the right reason.
Can I say something about decentralization? Currently, Firehose is a centralized solution, and it's a product of its time. We're at a certain point in the Cardano life cycle where it's kind of required to do this level of big thing on Cardano. But we talked a little, Peyton brought up Hydra. And where we want to go with this is moving into having a smart contract do this distribution thing. And that's why we have Quinn on the team. He's an awesome smart contract developer. He's going to help us, you know, build out potentially a Hydra solution. And, we could do all kinds of really neat things. And eventually things like Firehose kind of fade into the background and become a relic of history. I don't have any plans to maintain Firehose for the rest of my life. And if there's better on-chain solutions that are more decentralized, then I'm all for that.
Thank you, Andrew. No pressure, Quinn. No pressure.
He's going to solve all the problems. He's already on out and decentralization.
Thank you, Quinn. Yeah, he's already finished it. I do want to quickly set some expectation. So the first, when we're launching Midnight UTC, what you see on the current live website, is the MVP solution. And so you have the tokens with the membership system, which is optional, by the way, so you can register to have your referral system, but you don't have to have an account to use the system. And all the Project Explorer, the voting side that we just mentioned of the DRIP token is something coming later, because we have to figure out all the ins and out of it, like how much DRIP is required to cast a vote. So like, how then when you're voting, how would you actually send that token to cast your vote? How do we tally the votes and all kinds of things that has to go into thinking about this? And then how do we enable public projects to actually request to be listed? And how do we set the cadence for when the tokens can show up and then vote and all of this? So it's a big, big undertaking, but that is the intention for the DRIP voting governance token, but that will happen later after we launch. But the MVP set up in such a way it's solid, which was delivering the promise of token distribution.
Yes, thank you for managing expectations. That's very important. Please don't come to Drip Drop saying, you promised something X, Y, or Z. I saw it happen to Charles 1,000 times. This is experimental. It's going to take time. It's going to take patience, and there are going to be changes. The only thing that I know that's going to happen is there will be changes coming down the line. And for example, voting might be voted on by voters to see how they want to vote, right? So it might say, hey, do we want to say, if I have 1,000 drip, can I put 100 drip towards a particular vote? Or do I have to put all of my drip? But whatever the case is, when you do vote, you're going to burn the drip and you have to go back to the drip drops to get more drip, or you can collect it or whatever it is you want to do. Thank you for that, Lathy. There were some questions on how drip works. There was another question. Let me get to the viewer questions and we'll wrap up. Is there anything else we need to hit on?
Because we need to hit on the CDI, the token ranking system.
Oh, CDI token ranking system. Yeah, let's hit on that and I'll hit any questions that have not been answered. How does the CDI, the Coin Desirability Index, how does that work?
I'll take this one. It actually is a really simple thing. Take Drip Drop, because that's the simplest one. In theory, everyone should have the equal amount of Drip Drop, because we always can get 1,000 Drip Drop every epoch. And we should see a desirability index for drip at about 100. We say that potentially everyone in the network should be able to grab it. Well, at the end of the epoch, how many users actually grabbed it? That's just a ratio of actual to potential, and that is the definition of the desirability index. The coins that no one wants, no one's going to grab them, and their actual usage would be zero, and the potential is a lot, and you take a small number and divide it by a big number, and you get a very small number. So it's a pretty simple thing, actually.
So under the hood, that's how the CDI works, and I want to sort of go into where it actually plays in. So it's similar to Google search. When was the last time you went to search for something and went to the 100th page to click on a link? You know, that's where the CDI comes in. So right now you don't actually see any ranking when you enter your stake address and say, what can I claim? And you see just random list of tokens, and then you have to make a choice. But what we want to get to is basically have an option of everything that's ranked from one to whatever the number is, so that the first list of tokens that you see are actually ranked or sorted by the highest to the lowest CDI.
Okay, so what will happen initially, more random, as people withdraw, so the CDI metrics will kick in. Something for people to be alert to is early on, you're going to have the most desirable tokens at the top. And as new tokens deploy, it'll take some time for the algorithm to kick in. So once in a while, you might need to sort to the bottom to look for a particular token that you're looking for. Mm. So, you know, keep track of the project so that if you say, hey, this token might be down low. Well, it might be down low because it's brand new compared to the other ones. See, so it'll take some time.
Does that exclude the Drip Drops token pot? You know, because a lot of these projects are, you know, maybe minting a large amount of tokens and putting them in one pot. Will those be excluded from that data?
Yeah, they're only included. It's based off of withdrawals. So impressions versus withdrawals. And so this is
people choose it. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It almost acts as a deterrent for spam tokens as well. Because if you're a spam token and you're just trying to send out advertisements blockchain wide, you have more impressions doing that than way, way less withdrawals. So it's best if a token project really puts some thought into who they are targeting with their token, because the more impressions you have and the less withdrawals you have, the lower your CDI falls. And so advertising to the right group of people or delegates or whomever is critical, because you do want all of those people to withdraw the tokens that are being displayed to them.
That's right. Yeah. And so it's a good metric. We'll monitor and adjust and learn and implement. You know, there's a lot of things we can track there. You know, we can track fast rates of a CDI that has a really fast accelerating rate or something, things like that, so we can understand really bad projects. But I've got an announcement to make. Hosky has agreed to come on board for Drip Drops. They are going to be providing 1 trillion tokens for a flat rate withdrawal of 1 million each. To quote, Andrew, I need you to send me an address they've already completed their onboarding for. But to quote Hosky, we think you're awesome for this quote. This is fucking hilarious. I laugh. Sorry, I'm not allowed to drop a whole bunch of F-bombs. But he goes, what do I do? I'll give you guys some of our tokens so you guys have something people actually want.
I love that Hoshki guy.
Well, there you go. Live onboarding on a podcast.
All right. Yeah,
there's a lot of very desirable tokens that we will be launching in addition to all the other stuff. So, and who knows? Some people, you know, their gold is those meme coins. They really love them. Who knows?
Well, I know Hoshki cares about the ecosystem, and so that's awesome. You know, I know you care, and I know this means something to you in preserving the ability for entrepreneurs to thrive for decentralization. I believe you believe in that, and so thanks, brother.
Can I pick up on that? Specifically, yeah. You know, allowing entrepreneurs to thrive. There's a question from Rule Breaker, and I really think this kind of ties it all together. He says, how exactly does Drip Drops raise the bar for ISPOs? Sorry, not tracking. Doesn't an ISPO have the option to use Drip Drop for token distribution? So I'm going to answer your second question first. Yes. But how Drip Drop raises the bar for ISPOs, it doesn't just raise the bar for ISPOs. It raises the bar for everyone because it offers tooling for anyone in the Cardano community to use Drip Drop to distribute their tokens. What they mentioned earlier is that, you know, currently only centralized sources have the ability to distribute these tokens at scale. And what Drip Drop does is provides infrastructure for not only SPOs, but anyone to distribute tokens to users that get on the Drip Drop site relative to the campaign that you create. So it doesn't necessarily raise the bar for ISPOs. It allows everyone to participate without having to pay thousands of dollars for a centralized token distribution platform.
Yeah.
And I can, my own company that I'm working for is Noom. I've got it there. We are doing an ISPO. We call it a FISPO, a fair ISPO. So it's not going to take all your ADA. It's a 25% pool. So it does take some. But not only does that pool drop the token, but we've partnered with a bunch of other pools and other projects that are kind of in the same vein or potentially collaborators in the future. We've partnered with their pool to drop our tokens on their pools, and they're dropping their tokens on our pool. So it, yes, I think it does raise the bar with the idea of instead of every ISPO being a little silo where they're trying to suck as much out of the ecosystem as they can, it can be more of a fair ecosystem where things can be spread wider and you get a lot more collaborative between projects.
Yeah, and the reason too is you look at what's happening with some of these projects. I mean, we're trying to get billions of users, guys. And an ISPO model is going to reward tokens based on amount of ADA staked. And, you know, certain ISPOs are going to do a nonlinear function, so whales don't have as much control, but a lot of it's going to be linear. And Drip Drops, you know, even though we don't really advertise it, we're going to get pretty sophisticated in the types of distribution algorithms we support. But if you look at, okay, assuming in the future, the majority from a numbers perspective of ADA holders are going to have a low amount of ADA. And so we're enabling a flat rate withdrawal across many tokens, and a flat rate withdrawal where issuers can now get a wider distribution versus a more narrow distribution, because you're not incentivizing a whole lot of people if you're giving them a fraction of a token across many wallets, and issuers want to get their token into as many wallets as possible. So we're kind of creating a funnel that's going to force issuers to either go their own way and compete against 50 other assets or whatever, you know, is being offered to issuers or to delegators, or to join into this ecosystem and to compete. So we're essentially adding a new dynamic to game theory.
Yeah, it's very hard to say, are you raising the bar? Because we don't even know what the bar is for this kind of industry. It's new. That's we're true. Creating it. In that same, you know, breath of a sentence, I want to sort of highlight a new feature that will be coming in, which is, so all this time we've been talking about epoch reward. So you stake for a whole 2 epoch, and this is the reward you get. There is another type of reward called instant reward. And the way this will work is it is actually beneficial to token projects, as well as people who just happen to have a lot of token and they're trying to do something with it. So what you will be able to do in the future is set up an account, which is a token issuer account. Doesn't mean that you own the project and that you don't have to own the project. You will be able to create an issuer account, and then we'll give you an API access. So this is a private bucket of tokens that is already voted on, is in the system, is approved, and we're distributing already. And with this API, you can do whatever you want with it. You can gamify it. So for example, Chris is creating a game called Honor Drags. Let's say that you complete an action in the game. He can hit this API and reward a particular address X number of zombie coins, which is separate from the epoch reward. And it could be somebody who's just happened to have a lot of, let's say, space coins, but they don't own the project, but they want to do something like he's trying to bring people to look at his NFT sale on an X project. He could create an advertisement saying, hey, if you buy my NFT, I will send you X amount of space coins. And how I'm going to do it is through this reward system. Or like follow me on Twitter and Instagram. And all of this would be enabled through this public API. And that's another kind of reward system that's be coming up in the future as well.
And the API exists already, but it's just not public yet. So the Liquid Finance guys, they are not currently dropping their token through pools at all. They are they sent me a list already of all of their Discord delegators. And so then they pushed records into our system. And so whenever those people come to Drip Drops, they can withdraw their LQ governance tokens through Drip Drops. And those aren't related to the epoch, or you don't lose them at the rollover, so they can be withdrawn as long as they're sitting there in our system. And that's the difference between instant rewards versus the typical, which is the staking rewards.
There's two questions in here about wallets I was going to hit on real quick. So one guy said, hang on.
What's his name?
Create the Imaginable. He says, is Drip going to integrate and use ADA handle for wallet addresses? That would be awesome. No. And the reason that is because for security reasons, how this whole thing works is stake-based, right? So you have to put in an address. We check your stake address. And then the very first address from that stake address that actually had a transaction on chain is the address we use. And so now if ADA handles had been maybe implemented like through a CIP and it was like a protocol level kind of thing, potentially, but it wasn't done that way. So probably not. I can't say what the future holds, but probably not. And tying into that, somebody asked about what types of wallets will be compatible. Anything that's Shelly era. So no exchange addresses. Don't try to interact with it from an exchange. It's not going to work. The format would be ADDR XXXXX.
Well, I mean, we're going to give you...
Don't do the DDZs. If it's a DDZ, you're probably in trouble.
Well, the way it's going to work, right, is we're just going to... Yeah, you're going to enter a stake address. And if it's a valid stake address, we're going to tie it. I mean, you can send from any address to pay for it. It's going to send back to the first payment address associated to the stake address you're withdrawing for.
Yeah, you can pay. Just to clarify, there is a difference. So let's say my stake address or receive address is ADDR or stake XYZ. And when you hit that, and then you're saying what the token's available, and you make that order, and then you're waiting to see how much you can pay that from anywhere. Like you can pay from an exchange, and you can pay from your Roy, Nami, Typhoon, or even have your friend pay for it. It doesn't matter. Because what happens when the payment goes through is that the Firehose system will look up the stake address you're trying to pay that order for, where it belongs to, and that's where the tokens will be sent to. But so if you're on one of those exchanges where you're staking and they have their own stake address, probably not a good idea to use that because it's going to go there, isn't it?
They're going to get it.
What he's saying is you can, if you guys want to try and be sneaky, you're more than welcome to withdraw tokens on behalf of somebody else, but it's going to get sent to them and not you.
Yeah. That's what
it's going to go to their wallet.
Yeah. That's by design. Like,
so if I tried to log in and try to get Lathi's coins, all that will happen is I'll end up paying for Lathi's coins and they're going to go to his wallet.
And that's right.
And we make expanded. Money off of window lickers. Yes.
So even if they create Frank an address and try and like their payment address and you know somebody else's stake address, you're just gonna end up paying for somebody else's tokens.
You're not gonna
trick the system,
which is very kind.
So we have shadowy supercoders here. All right, thanks for clarifying that. Let's touch on a few viewer questions. We're going to wrap up. Let's see. Big TV says, what happens when the drip drop token supply is exhausted. Is it possible to exhaust it?
We'll make up some drops.
Don't they recirculate? If I vote with them, they go back to the source.
Yeah.
We'll work economics like everyone, out.
And what we'll do everyone got dripped and then never voted. It'd be really weird.
Highly unlikely.
We could say if you want to keep the token on the system, then you have to vote for it. Then maybe people would want to spend them. We can always get creative with how to incentivize people to spend them.
And we can throttle the rate of distribution too if it gets out of hand, if we're getting a lot of users.
Yeah.
There's six decimals. We can throttle them as much as we need to.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have. But I think somebody did a calculation. I think it might be Anthony. Was it something like 12 years at the current rate with nobody actually spending it, which is the weird scenario we talked about, 12 years for it to get distributed altogether?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a long time.
It wasn't that many users, though. What was the user base, 50K or...? It wasn't a whole lot of
No, it was more than that for that token. Because we did it with the token as well. Yeah.
It was based on the pool stakers.
Yeah, we have essentially 45 million withdrawals to go before all the drip tokens are out, and no one would ever have to vote ever. And that's the only way that system would not work, is if everyone withdrew every token and never voted again. So it's not likely. And in that event, we can do something crafty by that time to mitigate the problem.
All right. Okay. I'm going to try to go through a speed round of answering questions, see if we can hit them all. Pei, thank you for helping identify those key questions in there. Rulebreaker asks, how will drip drop prevent bad actors from leveraging the efficiency gains of drops? Actually, I hope they do. I hope bad actors, I mean, if they try and they just spam it with coins.
This is good.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, well, this is good because what's going to happen is all the bad actors, we're creating a focal point for them to come to. Now, we're not experts, and we want to separate, you know, any type of liability from supporting a coin that ends up, you know, rug pulling people down the road. We have no responsibility for that. But with that being said, we all are relatively intelligent people, and we can look at things with our own eyes, but by enabling the community and having a central point where you guys are all seeing it too and participating, we're going to have a central point with a whole lot of eyes looking at all the projects coming in. And I think just by the nature of that, that's going to help us mitigate a lot of the shit that may be coming at the door. So exactly. It's on you guys too.
Yeah, and it's possible we could put in a star rating system or a thumbs up, thumbs down system. But I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
With some drip to derank it. Coin you don't
derank
it.
You really throw drip at it to derank it.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, like, you know, it's a open market. Like, you know, the people withdrawing is the market activity deciding on whether it's good or not. That's what the CDI is there to protect. Like, you know, if people aren't withdrawing it, but then you're doing all these things to make it look like the next Shiba Inu or Dogecoin, like, good luck. But at the same time, people are believing that hype and wants to be on it and then wants to use that. Who are we to judge? Like, we shouldn't be gatekeepers, right? Because they're making the market.
Vote with your drip.
Like, exactly. We're going to have to gatekeep it first. I'll give you an example. We're going to have to gatekeep at first. There's a real WMT token with real value. There's real Dana tokens with real value. There's some real quality tokens launching out there. And if someone submits a counterfeit or a fake, then we have super coders who look at the policy ID and say, oh, no, that's a fake. And it's not going to get listed on drip drops.
Right.
It won't be put on. So there is the human factor to say, no, that doesn't belong there. And that's where we're going to need a lot of time until we get to a full DAO where the voters know it well enough to say, oh, no, this is the real one. And obviously it has enough social activity and chain activity so that they know. And you also see, for example, like Maisley Swap has a lot of those coins listed like WMT, and you can get them over there, and we wouldn't want them to show up wrongly on. We'd want them to show up on drip drops or something.
this is basically policy ID verification, isn't it?
Like policy ID verification.
Yeah, we go through this trouble at our marketplace all the time. Like, you know, somebody trying to sneak a fake NFT into the marketplace. And we have things in place where we say these are the policy IDs that is verified. And we can even turn the policy ID verification for tokens as, you know, it's something that you vote on and with confidence using Drip Token. Somebody wants to get listed, first step might be that you get your policy ID verified and people have to actually vote with their thing and saying, it's like LinkedIn when you say, I'm really good at PHP or C# or Haskell. Other people have to say that, yes, you are. And that becomes your stats, right? So it could be something like that.
Thank you. Thank you, Lathi. Here's a very good user question and we'll try to get through as many as we can and wrap it up. This one was from Codaman007. Thank you again, Codaman007. And he asks, is the token going to say, is it going to stay flat versus, is it going to say flat versus linear distribution on the page before you choose it? So I think it depends on what the developer submitted. Lathi, what do you think?
It's going to tell you how many you get.
Yeah, I was precisely what Kyle said. So not on that particular page you're looking at. So when you enter your stake address and click on check my drops, you will get the list of tokens with a hyperlink to the project page. If it's something you've never heard of or it's new to you, we encourage you to click that link and actually go check out the project and see, oh yeah, they're dropping 13 tokens per 100 ADA staked versus network-wide distribution of X tokens and things like that. So you make your informed decision by first checking the project before you actually withdraw it. But we don't show it on the withdrawal page because there's too much information overload. We just wanted to keep it simple. You know, here's my address. What do I qualify for and how many? You check, check, check. And then, you know, you make your withdrawal.
All right. Thank you, Lathi. Let me see. Are there any other questions we need to hit on before we wrap up? There's one from earlier from PlayerMint. Could NFT project utilize drip drops to create a claim-based airdrop for their NFT holders?
We talked about that.
Okay. All right. We got that one.
No. Like, we talked about that internally. It was something we couldn't do for the MVP. And to clarify, what we had talked about specifically was, could we enable a fungible reward for someone who held a specific NFT? It's a lot harder to drop a bunch of NFTs. If you're looking to drop NFTs specifically, we recommend using poolperks.io. That's a product by Andrew as well that also relies on Firehose.
We also have Adam Dean's BuffyBot is another good solution for that.
That's right. But for fungible side, I think it makes sense to enable fungible rewards for holding specific NFTs. I like the idea of issuing fungible campaigns based on holders of a certain policy or a certain specific asset. That's something we want to look at too. But where I think we're going to make a big impact is this API, where we enable game developers and project developers the ability to hit an API call and programmatically reward users some sort of their token bucket allocation within Drip. So the next time that user logs in, they got their bonus for beating the crap out of somebody in a game or winning something or doing this or didn't that, you know, just some sort of achievement somewhere, and enabling that ecosystem of rewards, because now projects can come and do what they do best and let us do what we do best, which is distribute.
Separation of concern. I like that. Just to add to what Kyle said, it's not that it's impossible to do it. Like, the requirement is simple. If an address of X has, you know, this NFT, they're eligible. Now, to actually implement this, you basically are asking us to look at every address who are the holders of that particular NFT, and then build an internal representation of this database history, and then say that when they come back and say, okay, yeah, here you go. And it is possible to do it, but we want to look at it as a long-term thing. How would this actually play out in a smart contract? Because in a smart contract, this is they don't have access to the outside world. Though they can query the smart the internal chain state, there is no state persistence. Like, you know, you have to feed in things into it, input and output, standard stuff. So if we implemented it for the off-chain manual centralized way, and then later lose that feature in the decentralized way where you're doing it through smart contract, it would be devastating. So it's a cool idea, but we would probably attack it if it's possible to also do it in smart contract as well.
I saw one from Blue Collar. Can you exclude only certain pools from your distribution? And yes. Basically, once we have the site up, right now onboarding is like, it's a disaster. It's a Google form.
Very manual. very manual process.
Google form that goes to an Excel sheet and none of it's fun. But yes.
You can do excluding. So what you do to exclude is you actually say you're distributing to them, but you say I'm distributing 0 tokens per 1 ADA staked. And so when it does the calculation on the back end, it'll say, how many tokens is this person eligible for? 0. And so then it won't show up.
Right. And then in the onboarding on the site, we're discussing more dynamic selection options. So don't distribute to pools over certain percentage fees, or don't do this or don't do that with your inclusions. And then it will funnel down to who your final awardees are going
to
be.
Yeah. So in the future, and Hosky, this is something to pay attention to. Maybe we can have discussions in the future. We'll be able to pick subsets of pools that we don't want to target and things like that. And by having partnerships with different issuers, we can at least help guide the landscape of inbound individuals and then provide educational funnel buckets for them. And that will help us, you know, preserve and you know, educate and help create a higher quality and better educated community, well, and more informed community. And I think that's going to be really important, because as we hit product market fit, a whole shit ton of users are coming. And the more people we've got kind of in check with the right kind of just mindset about everything that's going on, you know, I think it's going to be better for us all. Otherwise, this can get out of hand real quick. And then you've got people cheering for Solana-like stuff. And that's not who we are.
Somebody in the chat asked a very cool question, and I thought we mentioned it briefly, maybe not for the new viewers. I think it was create the imaginable. Can we use drip drops to distribute? Sorry, I think it was a second question they had. Maybe it's got deleted. Okay, I lost track. So it might be the same person, but it was a different question. It's like, can we use it? Is it going to show up on DEX? So the token is 100% community, and there's nothing reserved for their team members. So what that means is if somebody using our system for the longest time and they show up on something like Moosely Swap or Sunday Swap or one of the, you know, the DEXs out there and decide to create a pair, for example, drip for ADA or drip for something else, we're not in control of it. That's the beauty of this. You know, it's decentralized. They can do it, and
all right,
they're willing to do it.
I've put a lot of thought into that. The DEX, a lot of the tokenomics charts that we've looked at allocated percentages to the DEX or providing liquidity. Ours is going to be an interesting case with the DEX because we don't have any tokens put away for that. So the DEX is probably going to be pretty lean.
Well, guys,
when it first launches.
Yeah. And what you guys got to understand,
which is not bad.
What you guys got to understand is projects, what they used to do is they used to do ICOs and they used to sell tokens for funding. And now what they're going to do is they're going to create DEX liquidity pairs to maintain funding and things like that. So they can sell tokens. We're not doing that. You know, we're doing it by naturally providing a service as a team. We came here, we money out of pocket, time out of pocket, sweat equity. Everybody showed up as equals to deliver something that we thought the ecosystem needed. Now, there's a small revenue withdrawal fee, which gets split up a whole lot of ways to take care of everybody. And, you know, in volume, it should be a nice business opportunity for us. But the reality is that we're not going to have the ability to off-sell and offload a whole bunch of tokens onto this market and do any type of market activity. That's all y'all. It's not like we don't have any tokens. Nobody here got any.
Yeah. I want to kind of give up.
I got some tokens earlier today. Yeah. Can I talk about that? I got 1,000 drip earlier today. I turned it on mainnet, withdrew 1,000 drip, but then I put it right back in the bucket. But we just had to test on mainnet before we flipped the big breaker
just
tomorrow,
to make sure it's still 100% fair drop. You gave that 1,000 drip back.
So I did receive 1,000 drip, but it's been returned.
Yeah. Andrew is a very thorough tester, as well as all of the shadowy supercoders we have on a team. I want to give people a general functional description, and we're going to wrap up the podcast here. And that is, imagine, I'm kind of referring to the last question. Imagine there's three different decentralized entities out there. There's a group of developers and entrepreneurs who want to distribute tokens. And there's a group of users, all of you guys, including me, and the users want to get tokens. So you have these two different groups. people who make tokens, they could be shares, they could be governance tokens, they could be utility tokens, whatever those tokens are, they want to get them to the users. Where do we come in? We're a conduit. We're providing a service to help creators get the tokens to the users. That's what Drip Drops is, okay? So I just want to make sure it's very clear. How do you get these Drip tokens and all of these other cool tokens that are launching next week is, as of midnight UTC, tomorrow night, at the absolute beginning of the new year, check out the link down below, dripdrops.io. The countdown timer will complete, and you'll be able to go onto Drip Drops and get the first batch. And when we launch, we're going to have nearly 30 different tokens on there, including the Drips tokens, right? They're going to be in there as well. And you can start selecting and withdrawing those tokens by, you're going to do it just like the video that Anthony made. Check out the Drip Drops Twitter link down below. And there's the video that shows you, you put your address in there. Then it's almost like buying an NFT. It's pretty easy. You take the staked wallet address, right, guys? Yep. Drop it in that URL. It's going to come back and say what tokens are available. You send the ADA payment, and it will kick back the tokens, and the return ADA balance comes back. And it really is that easy. And these guys have done a fantastic job. I'm so happy and so proud to be with this team. I'm glad you guys took me in. It's been fantastic. Great learning experience. And you've done incredible work, and there's a lot more work to do. We're going to get user feedback over the next couple of weeks. Leave us some feedback in the Telegram channel, also linked down below. And these guys will take a look at it and see what can or should be implemented and when. And it's a growing process, and we'll be growing with you. Anything else we need to add before we wrap up for this happy new year? Anthony, are we going to be putting out some info tomorrow night right before launch, like a little kind of, hey, we're ready, check our website, and the countdown timer hits and boom, up, off we go.
That's it. Yeah. That's hopefully off we go.
guys, we're all just running and flying. This was all put together from concept to delivery within 3 months. I'm so proud of everybody. You guys are all amazing. Everybody here is so amazing. It's like everybody's just, you're great at what you do, and we're all learning together, teaching each other and pushing each other to be better too. So that's all. I'm happy to be here.
It's a fun team. We look forward to seeing everyone in 2022.
New Year's Day, 2400 UTC, or excuse me, New Year's Day UTC time, 2359,
whatever.
It's
actually New Year's Eve on Eastern. It's going to be 7 p.m. Eastern on December 31st, 7 p.m. Eastern time, and then figure it out from there. The rest of you guys will have to just figure it out.
And if you guys have any issues and you're not getting support, I mean, whatever.
There's a countdown timer on the website. Just follow, just wait for the numbers to get to zero.
Yeah, you might not get support until late on the first as people recover from the night before. Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you, everyone. Thank you to all the viewers. Check out the links down below. Make sure you just subscribe to that Drip Drops YouTube channel and the Drip Drops Twitter account. Y'all have a great day and happy new year.
Thanks, guys.
Happy new year.
Thank you.